Say, do you think a boy of 20 could fall in love with a woman of 60?
Yes, and fall hard. If she had $1 million and was on...
People Are Funny!
Yes, transcribed from Hollywood, John Goodell's production of People Are Funny. And now, here's America's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter!
A moment ago, I asked for hands in the studio audience here of people who'd like to earn $1 million. Surprising how many people were eager and willing to make that amount of money. And the lady we picked out of the audience turned out to be a grandmother. So let's meet her and greet her and find out what she'd do with $1 million. Is she coming? Oh, hello. Gosh, Grandma, you came right out of thin air. You're Mrs.?
Lowe.
Mrs. Lowe. Uh-huh. Hi, Lowe.
Hi.
First name?
Rita.
And where do you live, Rita? Here in town?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, have you always lived here? Where do you come from?
Well, Lincoln, Nebraska, really.
Mm-hmm. What have you done most of your life? Been a housewife or professional gal or what?
No, housewife.
Uh-huh. How many children?
Two.
How many grandchildren?
Three.
And that means you're how old?
60. And a little more.
Gosh sakes, when you're 60, you don't need to worry about fudging for a couple of years. You're 61.
Well, I know, but I've lied about this for so long.
Have you? First, you were trying to make it older when you were 15 and 16, and then the other way.
Okay.
You can tell me, frankly, you're 65. Well, I think you're a very charming and very attractive and very lovely lady.
Thank you very much.
And let's see now. You wanted to earn $1 million this year?
I'm very anxious to.
Now, we have figured this out very scientifically. A millionaire working 5 days a week, 6 hours a day, averages $300 an hour. Mm-hmm. And since we only want you to work for half an hour, here's $150. Now, this puts you in the millionaire bracket. If the job continues, why, you'd make $1 million a year.
Oh, dear.
But we are going to try you out for half an hour, and here is what we want you to do. You look very charming in this pretty little silk dress, but we want you to look more like a millionaire should look. So we're going to send you backstage and put on a fancy hat, and we'll put on jewelry and a mink stole around your shoulders, and we'll sprinkle you with expensive Arpège perfume from France. And I'll be seeing you in just a moment.
All right.
You go right back the way you came because I don't want anybody to see you over on this side of the stage. Because this is just the start of what I hope is going to be a very interesting stunt. Just the preliminaries. Now, boys, I hope you're on your way to the sound booth where we've been holding, separate so he hasn't been able to hear or see anything that goes on, a young guest who is invited to be a guest of ours from USC. Come on out here, Crockett. Right across here. My gosh, it sounds like you're a popular fellow. Who's that gang out there?
Fraternity Brothers. A few pledges.
And a few pledges.
Yeah.
What fraternity is it?
Beta Theta Pi.
And you are a senior out there at USC.
Right.
What's your first name?
Chuck.
Chuck Crockett. Well, you're a Crockett with the shortest fuzz I've ever seen. Davey wouldn't have been proud of you, Chuck. You're a senior studying to be what?
Industrial management.
And where do you come from? Right around here, don't you?
Well, from Missouri originally.
Mm-hmm, but your folks live here.
Yes, right.
Do you live at the fraternity house?
Well, apartment close to the fraternity, yes.
Oh, you don't live right at the house?
No.
Why don't you live in the house?
Well, I figure I can study better in my apartment.
You mean the house is not always a quiet and studious place?
Well, they have about 4 hours a night, but I like to study more than 4 hours a day.
Seems to me you've also brought along a large lie detector down there that's working. What are you going to be, Chuck, when you get out of USC?
Well, I don't know. I hope to go into management someplace. I don't know what.
Some sort of management?
I hope so.
In other words, you get out of school and your first job, you manage some business like the president of the Bank of America
that's
or something.
Right. $1 million the first year.
Well, I hope you make it, boy. You're optimistic, and that's the way you should be. Now, let's tell the folks how you happened to be invited down here. Our scouts contacted you several weeks ago and asked you to do something for us, but we didn't let you in on the whole secret. What did they ask you to do?
Well, they wanted me to play a trick on my folks, and they said that they'd get a washing machine or something if I played a trick on them.
You're perfectly willing to.
Oh, yes.
So you contacted your parents and asked them what to do tonight.
Well, I asked them, we were going out to dinner, and I asked them to meet me at Mike Lyman's. at 7:45.
Yeah, and they're up there waiting.
Yes.
They're having dinner.
Yes.
And they expect you to meet them there.
Oh, yes.
Now, they don't know why you're going to meet them there.
No, they don't.
Were they very curious? Did you have
to allude them? Yes, I did.
Did you tell them it was going to be an important and interesting thing?
Oh, yes. I told them it'd be a good thing.
But nothing in connection with this show?
Oh, no. They don't know anything about it.
All right. Now, do you know what you're going to do when you go up there?
No, I don't.
You don't, huh? Amazing how far a guy will go to get into trouble. But you are there, and you certainly have gone along with us so far, Chuck, and this is what we're going to do. We are going to involve you tonight in a fascinating stunt to determine just how broad-minded and modern your parents are. Do you think they are pretty broad-minded?
Yes, I think they are.
They're quite willing to grant you freedom of action, to give you your head, let you go ahead and make your own decisions?
Yes, I believe so, most of the time.
We'll find out. You have a fraternity pin on you?
Oh, yes. Look,
can I see it right there? Oh, it's a beautiful pin. Now, when a boy at college pins this pin on a girl, what does it mean?
Well, they're more or less engaged.
Do you have... You don't have a girl that you're engaged
to?
No,
I don't.
You have no romantic entanglements yet?
No, none at all.
Mm-hmm. What sort of a girl do you have, Chuck, in the back of your mind as your ideal girl?
Oh, I don't know. Probably a nice blonde or something.
How about a brunette?
Well, that depends on the girl.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents suggest any particular type?
No.
Would your father object if you were engaged to somebody who was earning $1 million a year?
No, I would say not.
Well, we have a girl in exactly that class for you.
Well, very good.
She has a mink coat, she's dressed glamorously, she's loaded with jewelry, and she's rich.
Very good.
You go for all that?
Oh, yeah.
I want you to meet the girls. Rita, would you come out, please? Rita, here she is. Rita, this is Chuck. Uh-huh. Could you just move over there a little, Chuck? Say, don't they make a handsome couple? This is how we are testing your parents. Rita is probably a little older than you are. How old are you, Chuck?
22.
You may have a better stunt out of this than the parents. And Rita happens to be 65.
Very good. Go easy on that.
Well, actually, she's 64. She'll be 65 soon. Is that better?
Well, it helps a little.
Now, you are going up there, and with a straight face and absolutely on the level, you are going to tell your parents that this is your fiancé. What?
I'm taking the chance.
You are taking the chance. No, now, this happens. This is what's known as a June-December wedding, and you represent June. And the September song is just a little past for the rest of us. You are going up there and tell them that you have this lovely gal, Rita, and she is making $1 million a year, and you would like to marry her. Now, what business is your father in?
Automobile business.
Is he insured?
I think so.
Now, Mrs. Lowe, you're going to be Miss Lowe from now on. Rita Lowe. You play this absolutely trade. You met this boy at college where you're studying ballet. And... Oh, my aching back. And we want to see how broad-minded your parents will be. Will they accept this girl of your choice? You put your pin right on her on the way out. And when you take her in to the restaurant, don't hold her arm like you're helping an elderly lady in. Just walk right in. Let her hang on, because she can get around plenty, can't you?
Oh, indeed.
All right. And when they come back, we'll find out what kind of parents you really have. Or if you have any at all. Goodbye. Have a good... Say goodbye to them, audience. Say goodbye. You know, people are funny about the Christmas gifts they receive. It's really hard to choose a gift that pleases everyone. That is, until you think of paper-made pens. Because paper-made pens please everyone. Yes, I want to recommend that you give everybody on your list a paper-made pen. So if you haven't finished your shopping yet, take this tip from me and the paper-made sweethearts.
Shopping late?
Give Paper Mate.
Paper Mate pens for Christmas. Give a Paper Mate pen.
Mr., Mr., Mrs., all want a Paper Mate pen.
The jewelry finished new Capri, the finest gift pen by far.
And here's a two-tone Paper Mate in colors to match their new car.
Oh, it's the gift to give now. Give a Paper Mate pen.
Will they like it and how? Give a Paper Mate pen.
Paper Mate gift pens are really tops.
Each and every pen in a free gift box.
Yes, every Paper Mate gift pen is gift packaged. So look for the Paper Mate two-tone at $1.69 and the jewelry-finished Paper Mate Capri at $2.95. Remember, this Christmas...
Give a Paper Mate, they'll say it's great when they write with a Paper Mate pen. Shopping late, give Paper Mate. Shopping late, give Paper Mate.
You remember your very first roller coaster ride? The long, slow, agonizing climb to the top of that big hill? And then that exciting pause, and then whoosh, and you wish you'd have stood in bed? Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to show you how you look and try to bring back some of the feelings. Because we have cameras and microphones set up at the Ocean Park Pier at a great, big, exciting, dizzy roller coaster ride. And we have a lady volunteer from last week's studio audience, a Miss Shirley Gorham, who's all ready for her baptism under fire on the roller coaster. Engineer, switch us down to Ocean Park. Can you hear me down there in Ocean Park, Shirley?
Yes, I can, Art.
Where's your hometown?
Dayton, Ohio, Art.
What do you do now?
Well, I'm in college, Marymount.
You were chosen because you've never ridden on a roller coaster before. Now, is that right?
No, I haven't, Art.
Now, you're willing to do it, Shirley. You're not scared. You'll go through with it.
It's a deal, Art.
Well, don't worry, because quite a few people have survived their first roller coaster ride. And besides, you've got Pat McGeehan right there beside you to take care of you. Now, Miss Gorham, the purpose of this experiment is, can the human brain function when the rest of you is scared half to death? By the way, do you know many boys?
Oh, yes.
Well, the reason I ask you is that for every boy's name that you can think of and say out loud to Pat, after you start down the first big dip, you'll get $10 a name. Okay?
Wonderful.
Now, incidentally, you must precede every name with O, like O Fred, O Pete, and so forth. But that shouldn't be hard, considering the ride you're going to take. Now, just wait till you drop off that first precipice. Oh, Charlie. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, then. It's all yours, Pat McGeehan. Take her away.
Okay, Art. Let's go, dear. Get locked in here.
All right.
Deb? I guess we should. You don't have anything to worry about. Just be scared, that's
just
all.
I am.
Shirley, you're about the first in the world to be televised on a Coast to Coast network for your first coaster ride.
Wonderful.
Now, if you get frightened, don't be embarrassed, because a lot of jet pilots... Well, they wouldn't even dare ride one of these things.
All right.
I see the sign that says, danger, don't stand up.
All right, I'll sit right still.
Now, as soon as we hit over the top, you start mentioning the boys' names, and don't forget to say O in front of every one of them.
All
here
right,
we
I'll...
go. Are you ready? Look at this.
Oh, Bob! Oh,
Bob! Come on! Oh, I told you, one! Come on!
Oh, George! Oh, Jim! Oh, Charlie!
George!
Oh, him! Oh, Lou!
Four!
Oh, Chuck!
Got any more?
Oh! Sammy, did I say that?
I think you said Sammy.
Now, let's see.
Fire! Try another one.
Sammy!
That's a good one.
Didn't have very many boyfriends, I guess.
Oi!
All right, camera, switch back here. You know, I felt like I was taking that ride myself. In fact, she was a lot calmer than I would have been. How did you like it, Shirley, down there?
Oh, it was horrible.
Well, what did you really think of on that way down?
Oh, my goodness, I was ready to jump out of the car.
Well, Shirley, here's the news. According to the official count, you named 10 boys in the whole ride. That's 10, not counting the repeats. And, by the way, I noticed that you didn't once say, "Oh, Arthur." You weren't thinking of me, were you? Well, anyhow, at $10 a name, you get $100 in cash. And how would you like to take another free ride right now?
No, thank you.
Well, I don't blame you. Thank you for proving, well, something. I'm not sure just what. Well, ladies and gentlemen, People Are Funny is still trying to give away $10,000 in cash. We've been trying for weeks, having lots of fun along the way. And tonight, we picked a lady out of the audience because she volunteered that she had never won anything in her life, any kind of a contest or a prize. She doesn't know yet about it. She doesn't know what she's going to be on the air for. She's being held backstage. Her name is Mrs. Neumeister. So watch her face when she hears the news. All right, boys, bring in Mrs. Neumeister, please. Hello. How do you do, Mrs. Neumeister?
Yes.
And Mrs. Neumeister, where are you from?
I'm from Marietta, Georgia.
A peach, huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mr. Neumeister is a...
He's from Indiana, Bedford, Indiana.
And what does he do?
He's a pattern maker with Lockheed.
Pattern maker?
Yes.
And you have any little,
I have two. I have a little girl, 4, and a little boy, almost 3.
Now, you volunteered tonight when I asked for people who had never won anything.
Yes.
Have you tried?
I've tried, but I didn't have any luck.
Sent in coupons and figured out slogans.
Yes.
Never won a thing.
Not a thing.
Could you use a little money?
Oh, you bet.
Well,
a lot.
A lot, huh? Well, yeah. I have a little coming up for you. As a matter of fact, $10,000 in cash. Look at it. Look. A wheelbarrow full of it. Have you ever seen so much money in your whole
life? No, never.
Oh, let's just stop a moment and feast our eyes on it.
I was thinking about taking it all the way back to Georgia, how to ever manage it.
What would you do with the $10,000 if you got it?
Gosh, I don't know.
You got any one big thing you can think of? You got a mortgage or a...
Oh, we've got that.
Well, naturally, everybody's got that. You got a bill due on the car?
No, we'd just like to buy a new one.
You'd like to get a new one?
Yeah.
How about the kids' teeth or hair or something?
Oh, they've got all their teeth and hair.
I thought maybe you could get the 4-year-old one a toupee or something. Well, now, Mrs. Neumeister, I know that everybody's anxious to know how our game is played. And so I want you to look up on this little railing here, and you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters of the alphabet. Now, behind each of those letters is a numeral. It's either a 0 or a 1. There's 1, 1, and there are 4 0s. Now, we're going to have you make a word out of that. You can switch those letters around any way you want to make a word. Now, remember, you're on People Are Funny. It might be a logical type word, or it might be an illogical type word. And it's got to be a word out of the American dictionary. Yes. And if the letters are in the right order, the letter behind which is the 1 will be up here, and you'll have 10,000. Or it could be 1,000, or 100, or 10, or $1. You want to go up and make a word out of it, Mrs. Neumeister?
I'll try.
All right. Just change them around any way you want. You just... make any kind of a word. There are 4 or 5 different words that can be made with these letters. Huh? You can move any part of it. Uh-huh. Very interesting. You have made the word prose. That is an English word, is it not?
Yes.
And it means?
You know.
Yeah, I know. Well, we don't care what it means,
do we?
We
don't care what it means, as long as it gets the
money. As long as it gets the $10,000. All right. Now I'm going to reveal... This may take years off your life, Mrs. Neumeister. We'll go down to this end. If the 1 is revealed when I pull this E up, you've made $1. 0. If it's behind here, you have made $10. Let's stop the
Shall I go up and, huh?
Just go ahead, she says.
Let's, $10,000 maybe. Well, we have R and we have O left. Now, it can be $1,000 if the one is here. It can be $100 if it's there. There's a lot of difference between $1,000 and $100, isn't there? Tell you what I'll do, Miss Winemaster. Since this is People Are Funny, we like to toy with human emotions. I'm going to give you an alternative soul-torturing question. Here's $500. Do you want to take the $500 and go home with it? Or do you want me and call off the rest of the game? Or do you want me to go ahead and reveal the letters?
Go right ahead. Huh? I didn't have anything when I came here.
And you know that at least you're going to get 100.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there's 500. You don't want to take it.
Huh?
Well? Ah, oh, what? Do you want to change your mind?
No, I'm not going to change it.
Well, quit groaning. This is $100 if the one's back of here.
Okay.
Well, what do you know? That means that there is the thousand. All right.
Oh,
my. Oh. Aren't you happy?
Oh, yes. Lord.
Well... $1,000?
I can't believe it.
You can't believe it? Well, I tell you, we'll try to give the $10,000 away again in the near future. Goodbye and good luck.
Tuesdays, you're invited front row center for one of radio's finest programs, your radio theater, featuring top Hollywood stars in exciting hour-long dramas. You'll hear great stories, novels, plays, motion pictures, as adapted for radio by some of radio's top writers. In weeks to come, you'll hear such stars as Frederick March, Florence Eldridge, Edward G. Robinson, Vincent Price, June Allison, and many, many more. Your radio theater will present such plays as There Shall Be No Night, A Slight Case of Murder, Angel Street, The Major and the Minor, On Borrowed Time, Lost Weekend, Death of a Salesman, and others. With your host, Herbert Marshall, you'll enjoy every one of these exciting hour-long dramas heard each Tuesday evening. Be sure to hear your radio theater. One more reason why NBC heads the rest with the best in radio entertainment.
At the beginning of the show, we sent a young man from the Beta Theta Pi fraternity at the University of Southern California, graduating senior, up to the heart of Hollywood to do what might be called an acid test of his parents, because we sent him up there with a surprise fiance. Would you like to see her again? Rita and Chuck Crockett, come on out here and meet the folks. Now, Chuck's about 21, and Rita Lowe here is about 65, and cute, too, I think. And Chuck, you went up there and met your parents who were waiting to meet you, and they didn't know why they were up there at the restaurant, except you told them you'd meet them there, and you introduced Rita as what?
My fiance.
And what happened then?
Well, my father laughed a little bit. My mother almost had a heart attack, I think.
Well, now, Rita, how did they look at you?
Well, they looked at me, and I said, well, you don't mind, do you? I have $1 million and a beautiful yacht, and we want to take a trip around the world. And I couldn't think of anything else. I'm pretty
That's sure. enough. And what was their reaction to that?
I said, uh-huh, yeah. And then he said, you don't mind if I finish college, do you? I said, oh, no.
Would you judge as the son of your mother and dad that they took it to... How would you say? Did they finally give you the okay or what?
Well, I don't know. They were plenty shocked.
Did they say anything more?
No, just kind of gasped.
Well, let's let them gasp out here in person. Let's meet the Crocketts. Real nice people. Come on out here, Mrs. Crockett. Mr. Crockett, come on out here, sir. How do you do?
So,
Say, we pulled a trick on you tonight, didn't we?
That you did.
You've heard people are funny before, haven't you?
I've heard that proved every week, but some of the things you've done tonight weren't funny, believe me.
Now, you got to admit...
Shocking, not funny.
You've got to admit that these days, young boys have got to be given their head.
I've looked forward to it, and I've planned on it, but I didn't expect it to be such a jolt as all this.
Now, you must admit we...
I'm going to sneak up on it a little bit, not just...
You must admit we selected a very pretty lady.
I didn't want to say the wrong thing, because I thought, gosh, if she's going to be my daughter-in-law, I'll have to be my
My.
There was a problem, and I didn't want to do anything to embarrass him. I've always tried to be very careful about that.
Oh, I think you're a... you're a wonderful mother. Mr. Crockett, how did you feel about all this?
Well, I didn't know what to think at first, you know. But after the lady said she had a lot of money, I thought, well, now maybe I could borrow a little money.
What business are you in, Mr. Crockett?
Selling automobiles.
Selling auto. Immediately he thought, oh, I'll get rid of that clunker in the back lot. Well, now, of course, we know that you have a lot of confidence in your son, but these things have happened. People who are 40 and 45 years apart in age have married, haven't they, and been successful.
Oh, yes.
And you wouldn't forbid him to marry anybody.
You could prove anything to me right now.
You have been beaten down. Now's the time to ask for anything, Chuck. Well, I tell you, it was a shock, but it wasn't very long, was it? We told you pretty shortly so that you weren't worried, really.
Oh, no. We think he's a pretty great guy, and when he said it was all right with him, I said, well, if you're happy, I am.
Yes. Has he ever brought any other girls around like this?
Well, I won't commit myself.
Well, I tell you, Chuck, we promised you we'd give your parents something... in the nature of a nice present. That's why he got you into this whole business. You've heard of Fort Knox, haven't you, in Kentucky?
Oh, yes.
We hope you visit it sometime. Now, we do want you to have for your home one of the beautiful new Maytag Supermatic washers. It has automatic water level control, and it's a beautiful thing, and if you push the right button, it takes off, and you can fly over Disneyland. It's got everything. And I tell you what we have for you, Rita. We paid you pretty well for this thing, $150 a half an hour, but we also want to fly you up, since you are quite a gay grandma, fly you up on a big United DC-7 mainliner to Las Vegas, where you'll be our guest at the famous Sahara Hotel. How do you like that?
Well, can I take my daughter-in-law?
Take Chuck.
Careful yacht of hers. She shouldn't be interested in the other.
No, she's got a yacht and everything, naturally. Chuck, I think you can be very proud of your parents. They really came through with flying colors. They have a lot of confidence in you, more than they'll ever have again, by the way. Thank you. And we have a beautiful, solid gold Lucien Picard watch for you. And an introduction to the president of the Bank of America, and you can take over one of his branches after you graduate. Goodbye and good luck. Thank you very much. Goodbye, Mr. and Mrs. Crockett. It's nice to meet you. There we go. I might add, now that the stunt is over, the Crocketts can go back up to the restaurant and start eating again. I'm sure their appetite was gone in the middle of that meal. That's all for tonight. Next week, we throw a college boy into a dressing room full of chorus girls. And if you don't think that spells action, listen and find out. Good night, everybody.
This program was transcribed from Hollywood.